Now entering Nerdist.com.
Welcome to the Sex Nerd Sandra podcast.
Whoa, what are these kids doing in here? Hey, if you're under 18, go ask your mom. Now that we're alone, let's start the show.
It's Sex Nerd Sandra, and guess where I am right now? I am in an enclosed, large, closeted space that is the Nerdist podcast studio now. And it's amazing in that there's a Dalek in the corner looking at us, threatening to exterminate us, and a safari hat. And I think that I'll probably bring in some sort of stuffed ovary or something at some point and nail it to the ceiling. So I'm going to totally dominate this space. It's going to be great. Nerdist, I'm happy to be here. Today, we have two amazing people in the studio. We have the Dave Ross of comedy's fame all over the world. Dave.
Whoa. Hi.
Yes, the internet. It's everywhere.
The Dave Ross of comedy's all over the world. Man, I want to be introduced as that every show. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Hey, welcome. You probably remember us maybe if you've heard the hand jobs episode.
Yes, yeah. I've heard it. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, them.
Okay. Them. Them. Our friend listening right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, them.
Them. Those people.
And we also have the wonderful and exciting Elaine Smith, a friend from way back. Hello, welcome, Elaine.
Thank you for having me.
Elaine is our guest today because, well, Dave, you're a guest. But you're like, you know, like my co-pilot.
Wow, really?
I believe in you.
Am I?
Yeah.
That's great.
So that I
would
can
love
be,
to be the co-pilot.
You're like,
let's do it.
You're driving the comedy ship and I'm driving the sex nerd ship.
Cool.
Right?
Cool.
This is how we're doing it.
That's great because the co-pilot doesn't have to do very much work. He just has to have like interesting banter while the pilot is trying to not kill everyone.
You're helping me stay awake.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
that's how this works. Awesome.
That's great. I'm great at that.
So Elaine, how long have we known each other?
Sandra, we have known each other since 2007. Summer of.
Dear God. We met on a famous show called Celebrity Rap Superstar. Mm-hmm. We were both working in production. And
I've never heard of that.
That was completely sarcastic.
Not
no,
us.
No, no, I know. I know.
Oh, okay.
I haven't even heard of it.
It was one crazy season, MTV.
Point is that we would pull late nights, and Elaine always had this really sexy voice because everyone calls you out on it. Like, you have this great voice. And we'd talk about sex and we all clicked, and we've been friends all these years. And you are one of my favorite people when it comes to sex positivity and fucking open-mindedness about anything. I will mention any sex toy, any sex act, and you're like, oh, I like that. What is that about?
I'm actually remembering now, like, our first conversation about sex was when I was saying that there needs to be a brothel for women.
Oh.
Do you remember that?
Yes. We were going to start this magical place,
men would service us. So it could be legal, but it would have to be like a whole different business model. It can't be based on the business model for men because it's a completely different thing to pleasure women.
And you'd have to be able to get, facials, but the kind that makes your skin look nice, and manicures. I mean, you can get that in too.
That's interesting.
You'd be
Why
there
would
for
the
days.
Business model be so different?
Well, because it's not an in and out thing. You're not going there for an hour.
Right. Okay.
You've got to be you've got to be like eroticized. That's the word I always think of.
And I would imagine that the men who were employed by this place would have to be extremely talented.
Yes.
You would want not –
And
just
they would
want
they would go through training class. I was thinking, here's the best way to fund it, right? You have a reality show on like Showtime or something where – The men who get to work there have to go through a training program, and the guys who are best in their class get to work at the brothel.
Awesome. Oh, and the others have to go to sign up for the army or something. You just send them off to war.
I'm off to war. That's hilarious.
But you know what? I originally thought of it because I was like, I don't know, it was like 10 years ago, and I was like, you know, I love brothels. I've always, since I was little, I've known about brothels, and I just always loved the idea of a brothel. And then I was like, you know, maybe I should be a madam. And then I was like, no, I don't want to just like open another place where like men are pleasured. There needs to be a brothel for women. So then I started to think about like what that would be.
What do you love about brothels? I mean, to me, they're very mysterious and interesting, and a lot of fascinating things happen, but
I love the idea of sex work.
Mm-hmm.
there's just something that's always turned me on about that, like getting paid for sex. I don't know. So there's something, and then the brothel thing romanticizes it. It's not just like a prostitute on the street. A brothel, it is just very romantic. I guess I saw like a Showtime, like when I was like probably 20, there was a Showtime movie called Blue, I think, about this girl who like went, she ended up working in a brothel, and I don't know. It was just like this whole thing. It was
right, but I imagine like awesome outfits and yeah, you know, all the gals
yeah,
hanging out.
That's it.
And really nice people coming to hire me, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
so hot.
It is. It's also, I mean, it's also simultaneously fascinating. For one thing, because you were into brothels as a kid.
Yeah.
I remember being in like third or fourth grade and a friend of mine coming onto the bus and saying like, hey, Jimmy's my new friend. And I'm like, oh yeah. And he goes, yeah. And Jimmy was in like seventh grade or something. And he was like, Jimmy and I can't wait to have sex with girls. And I was like, what the hell is that? What does that mean? And I didn't know the answer to that question for like 3-4 years.
I remember like being like 5 years old, having a dream about a topless dancer.
Really?
And being so turned on by it.
Wow. Like you remember such, being turned on by it?
Yeah.
That's well, I mean, yeah. Some kids, their sexuality develops and they're aware of their inner
right.
drive.
Well, okay.
You know, I know it's weird. It's definitely weird.
I don't know like if it's weird. It's different than me.
I don't
me.
Think I had many other experiences like that, but I know I had that. And I know I was very much aware of brothels at a young age. And yeah, I don't know.
That's so interesting.
I actually randomly mentioned this on a different podcast recording, and I was like, oh, that was that too much personal information? But I guess it's not, because now I'm going to talk about it. But at a very early age, I had this, because I was a huge daydreamer, and you know, I'd be in spaceships, or I'd be like underwater, and in my little air bubble, or I could fly around, whatever. But there was this one where I'd be tied up, and then my like kindergarten boyfriend would come and save me. But then he'd also like touch me inappropriately too.
Yeah, see.
But the thing is that the idea of being naked while tied up was so just that was way that was I couldn't handle that. So right. I always had underwear and a tank top on.
So like love
the nudity was something that I just couldn't. But I knew that there was something very enjoyable, like oh, I've saved you, but not yet.
God, I wish I were that sexual at a young age. It would have been made high school easier, mm-hmm. I think. You know, when I was 17, I went over to my friend Jackie's house, and her little brother, who was 9 years old, was sitting on the couch. And this guy was insanely precocious. I'm really interested in what he's like now. But he was like, sup, man? And I was like, hey, dude, mm-hmm. how you doing? You're way more confident than me, and you're 8 years younger. And he is like, hey, do you fuck girls, man? And I was like, I don't know if I should answer that. And he goes, all right, do you jerk off? And I was like, yes.
How old were you?
I was 17.
Oh, okay.
And
okay.
He was 9. Okay. So this 9-year-old kid says to me, do you jerk off? And I was like, yes. And then he says, man, I got to tell you, I jerk off all the time and I can't come.
Oh.
And I was like, and he's like, I just don't think I'm old enough, man. And I was like,
cute.
Whoa.
That is so adorable. I just imagine being this tiny, tiny person, but with like a 30-year-old like brain, like
right.
saying
right.
things. Like when babies are smoking cigars and talking with deep voices, you know.
Oh, like all those babies you hang out with that smoke cigars and
I was thinking more like YouTube.
Right. But... Who Framed Roger Rabbit and stuff.
Uh-huh. So yeah, those, was, yes. Yeah.
Do you think he was turned on trying and he couldn't come, or do you think that he knew that you could jerk off and he was just trying but he wasn't there yet?
I don't think that he was that sexual yet. I just think he lived like that household was pretty messed up, and right. So you know, his big sister was really into drugs and like hooked up with a lot of guys all the time, which is fine, except it was sort of like they were always in the house and they, you know, whatever, so he was exposed to it. And she lived like a racy mm-hmm. lifestyle as a high schooler. So I think he just wanted to be cool.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Which can be very disturbing to a 17-year-old who's like, whoa.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I was still stuck in a box at 17 years old. Like I remember like when I was 16, a friend of mine started smoking weed and I like didn't hang out with him for a week.
No.
quickly got over it, but I was like, oh, that's terrible.
Yeah. No, yeah. I was a real straight-laced teenager. I had sex and did no drugs. And I didn't, that was my fun.
Sex?
Yeah.
You had a lot of sex in high school?
I did.
Did you have a lot of sex in high school, Elaine?
Not exactly, no.
You just...
After high school, I did.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I had sex for the first time at 17.
Okay.
Yeah, I was very much into, like, pleasuring myself.
Oh, okay.
In high school, yeah.
Did you use toys and stuff in high school? Or was it just...
Okay. No, I probably didn't get my first vibrator until I was, like, 9 to 20.
Okay, first orgasm, though. That's... Okay. Mm. When was your first orgasm?
First orgasm. I don't know, but I wanted to say one more thing about, like, childhood, because you made me think, like, another thing that turned me on as a child was Hansel and Gretel.
The locked Whoa. In the cage gonna get thrown in an oven thing, or, like, hanging out with your brother in the woods?
Which I'm part? Not even sure. Oh, Both? This is where my incest comes from.
Wait.
My incest fantasy.
Okay.
You have an incest Sorry. Fantasy?
Totally. It's, like, the hottest thing in the world to me.
So right,
not
interesting
when I think about my family. Absolutely not. Just the idea of it.
Okay.
Like Escape to Witch Mountain, like the brother and sister. I always thought like that was really hot. Like I wanted them to be like a couple.
See, that's really interesting to me because the brother-sister thing. Like I'm more used to hearing about like father-daughter, mom-son, or uncles, or when there's a power dynamic in terms of generational difference.
Right.
And so I've paid less attention to like similar generation like fantasies.
Yeah, I think it was just a void. It was just a void, maybe. But it's just the hottest thing ever to me.
Huh. It's so awesome.
Well, it is. I mean, it is a close relationship. You can't get away from that.
Yeah, it's very intimate.
Obviously, I mean, I would be...
Ideally.
Well, ideally, yes. Yeah. I mean, it could be a violent relationship.
Right, which I had.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
With a sibling, yeah.
So maybe that's why you always found it so fascinating.
I think so.
You want it to be close?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I think so.
Interesting.
I would definitely prefer an incestual relationship with a sibling over, you know what I mean? I mean, I don't have any siblings, and I would never want to have sex with my parents, but...
I don't think I could pick and choose which I would prefer. I think in reality... The idea, I mean, because in a fantasy, like any fantasy, even like a rape fantasy, like the most extreme fantasies you can think of in your mind, they know exactly how to please you and they're doing things that just the way you want them to, like in your mind, it can be anything you want. Whereas if we're happening in real life, well, they wouldn't be that tender to me if they were like breaking into my house. That wouldn't be very nice.
Right.
Right.
You know? Okay. But anyway.
Yeah.
So. We recorded that. Like practice podcast a long time ago, and you're like, incest is hot, and I'm like, pretend incest is hot.
Yeah, of course. Yes. Absolutely. And because of that, you bought me that lovely movie.
Yes. Okay. Classic porn. I was just talking about, I don't know, Dave, do you watch a lot of like classic porn?
I've seen Deep Throat, but that's it.
Oh, okay. There's some amazing stuff.
Maybe I saw Behind the Green Door. I'm not sure. Anyway.
Yeah. Like, some good stuff out there. But there's one famous title called Taboo, which was all about family members having this. I haven't seen it, and I gave it to you, and I keep wanting to borrow it so I could finally see it, but then feeling awkward about it.
Did you watch it?
Yeah, I did. I loved it. It was excellent. It was a film, but it was extremely hot. What struck me most about that porn was that it was made in 1980, and it was very pleasure-centric as opposed to, like, internet porn you see now. It's all, like, just degradation.
Okay.
And it's funny that the one scene that I was most turned on by that I would go back and watch again wasn't incest. It was a girlfriend. They're in high school. The son's girlfriend comes over, gives him a blowjob, and her friend is there, and she's like, oh, I should go home. And she's like, no, come on over. And like, she joins in. And there's something about this blowjob scene that it's so real.
Mm-hmm.
And this girl is so enjoying pleasuring this man that it's the hottest thing because it's so real and it's just pleasure. And then I was like, that's what I like. Like, that's what's missing from so much porn is just like the realness of it and the enjoyment, the pleasure, like the really wanting to give and please, not just kind of.
Yeah. I would agree with that completely. I have a big problem watching porn, and I'm taken completely out of it if it seems like the actors don't want to be there.
Yeah, I'm going to learn you this video.
You should.
Yeah. I will.
Into incest.
Actually, there is another title, which is the one that blew my mind, and it's called Sex World. And it's a sci-fi, it's like on the back, it says a sci-fi fantasy where all these people go to this retreat resort where they process everyone and they ask about your sexual fantasies and what they are. Then you go into...
Which is what you're going to do at my brothel.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Oh, right. There's an intake session exactly. where you intake information and then you're able to provide them the best service possible. It's very mm-hmm. important. And then they go into their separate rooms, and then this control room with all these big giant buttons and flashing lights and people in lab coats are like, mm-hmm. okay, activate Mr. Johnson's fantasy. Boop, 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 boop. And then suddenly, like, Roboto girl comes out of a closet, and then she walks into his room and is a real person. And then this completely crazy fantasy sex takes place. And there's a really aggressive like burglary scene, and then there's this really soft romantic scene, and there's one where there's this extremely racist man, and I mean this was made in the late 70s, so I mean he is redonk racist, and it's because now you watch it and you're like, wow, you're really racist. And African-American beautiful big fro just like, I am a queen, like walks in. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, are you going to clean my room? Like, this isn't a good time. And she's like, no. And the entire time she's trying to seduce him, and he's completely not into it. And he's like, I've tried everything. Like, no one can turn me on because now he's like, I've been everywhere. I'm bored. And then this crazy seduction scene between her and him is like,
wow.
The social commentary on it is interesting, and it's a really hot scene of seduction. So Sex World, it's sci-fi.
The social commentary of it, what do you mean?
Just his attitudes and how they slowly get broken down by her like empowered positive attitude.
Wow.
It's really just, and it's well written. And like, by the end of the movie, I'm like clapping in my bedroom. Oh my God, like, bravo. So anyway, it was an amazing movie. I have that in case anyone wants to see that one. But
it's interesting to be talking about the premise of that and the fact that you want to create a reversed brothel. Well, not a reverse brothel, but a brothel for women. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, probably going to be at the point pretty soon where something like that can be done in virtual reality, right? I mean, maybe that is something worth looking into. Or have you ever thought about anything like that?
No, I never did.
You like the reality, the physical.
Yeah, I mean, we need
jobs.
It all comes down to like intimacy. I think.
Yeah, it's like boost the economy.
Yeah, it like, certainly would.
Good sex all comes down to intimacy, right?
Yes.
So it'd be really hard to, especially with, you know, a lot of women have issues or you can't orgasm as easily or just, it's harder for women, right? So I would think that it's even more important to give them that real life contact.
That is a great idea, I have to say.
I mean, it's a great idea, but I have to say that depending on my mood, I might be like drive-by visit to the fancy place. I'll be like, can I have an in-out service?
You totally can.
Like a Jiffy Lube situation or like the all-night.
I'm sure they would have different packages that they offer.
And you don't even have to have sex. There's so many different ways.
Visit the spa and visit the dude, and you can call it the facial and facial. You can just call it that, and it could be a package. Can get a little bit of a discount.
Facial squared.
I can take notes on that. I can consider that.
Exponential facial.
We have all sorts of ideas for your business.
We would need to come up with a name for it.
Elaine's House of Awesome.
I think it's like just like the brothel because I love brothel.
The brothel?
Yeah. It would be, I mean, if it's hetero-focused and it's for female patrons.
It doesn't have to be hetero-focused, but it's for females. It's for pleasing females in whatever way it takes. Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to come up with an awesome pun name right now, and I can't. Damn it.
You can email me.
I will. I definitely will.
The Sweet Spot. It's called The Sweet Spot.
That's cheesy.
I know it is. It's terrible. I'm just trying here.
Jigalomans.
Jigalomans. We also have a clothing area.
Yeah, absolutely.
Shopping. Yeah.
Because women be shopping, right? Right, guys? Oh, man. Women are so one-track-minded with they shopping.
There will definitely be a wardrobe for them.
Definitely. And it,
so. I'd like the Tarzan, please. The
Tarzan. Oh, man. I definitely want that job. You get to play dress-up and have sex? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Sounds awesome.
Elaine, you were... You didn't even tell me that. Okay, sorry. I'm changing the subject.
Go ahead.
But last night I taught a butt sex basics class at work. Yay. And Elaine, you came. And I think you may have Facebooked me that you were coming, but I was still like, it just didn't.
Elaine's here.
Yeah, you showed up in the front row and I was like, oh my God. And then I kept studying your face the whole time to make sure that, you know, am I hitting all the important stuff? Like, are you getting something out of this? Like, you
know. Yeah, I was. I love that yes, no, maybe list. First of all, I just freaking love that. And then I love that you guys role played it. That was great. That was great. That was very helpful. It was fun.
What happened?
There's this thing called the yes, no, maybe list, which we do in all the pleasure chest workshops, and it's a tool that people use in relationships or one night stands, whatever, where it's a list of random sex acts, totally random, and you both put every single sex act. Whether it's clown sex or lap dancing or kissing, pegging. Google it, into three categories. Yes, no, or maybe. Would I try it? Maybe I wouldn't. And then you get together.
It's great.
With your partner. Yeah,
you go hang out wherever, not your bedroom, because then you'll have sex. And then you go over it. And in a positive manner, you go like, oh, I put lap dancing in the maybe column. Where'd you put it? Yes, obviously. It's like, well, okay. It's like, why is it maybe? It's like, well, I'm a little shy. I don't want you to laugh at me.
Oh, man, this guy character you're playing is such a dick. Why you put maybe? Why you put maybe, bitch?
Right. And see,
I'm sorry.
That's my total dick character, because then I go turn to the audience and go, you see, now that's a sex negative way to approach information. So it's.
Can I have a copy of this list to bring on first dates?
Please? Sure. Sure, but we need to add a few really kinky things on the list.
Oh, please do.
Okay.
Yeah. It'll be great. And yeah, we'll put paying for the check on there.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
I'll put that in the no column. Oh, that'd be really fun if you both put it in the no column and then you just walk
just
out.
Run on the check. Yeah. That's how I know I found the woman I want to marry. Thief. Marry a thief.
Love it.
This is so weird not having an audience, because we've recorded so many with an audience that it's
weird.
We
have an audience. Katie's right over there.
That's true. Oh, pretty sure.
Are we allowed to address that?
Yeah, she exists. Katie. Look at her. Look at her being awesome.
Smiling.
Pushing knobs.
Smiling wide.
Pushing knobs. You turn knobs.
Pushing knobs. Look at her over there fucking pushing knobs.
I love that workshop. Very inspired.
Yeah?
Really inspired.
Did you go home and put something really awesome inside your booty?
No, because I had a really long day and I was very tired. But I did think of like the list of things that I want to get next time I come to the store.
Nice.
Which I'm still kind of confused about the silicone and the saline. I still don't know which I want. I'm just going to have to try out both.
Silicone or saline?
In terms of the lube.
Lube.
But I don't want to talk about that. That's just like a whole boring conversation. But I do have to make a decision with that. And then what's it called? The Aneros. I'm very interested in it for my partner.
Okay. The Aneros being a prostate massager. It's a plug that a male would wear. And it hands-free with your muscle contractions totally massages your prostate so that you don't have prostate cancer.
Yeah, so it's pretty good much for you too, yeah. But feels great during sex. Right?
I have seen it in action. Well, I was looking at someone's face. I wasn't looking at the plug. And the orgasm was so much longer because it was eyes closed, like you could tell that fireworks were exploding inside his head.
So great.
Because the G-spot and the prostate come from the same tissue. They both have really intense, sexy sensations when they're played with.
Yeah.
So when you have prostate sensation and then the penis sensation, it's basically combining all these different nerve endings and nerve pathways, and you're just, I mean, it's a party in your pants.
Whoa.
Don't you want it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have never, ever put anything in my butt at all.
Uh-huh.
And I've never even considered it, actually.
Uh-huh. Until now?
Well, that sounded amazing, but if I'm being honest, I am actually scared. I am mm-hmm. to put something in my butt. Mm-hmm. Maybe someday. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's a fear of pain, a fear of questioning sexuality. I mean, people have a lot of hesitations around the act.
I suppose maybe it's like a latent fear of questioning my sexuality, but I don't think so. I've dealt with that already, mm-hmm. I feel mm-hmm. like. Mm-hmm. But no, I just seems like it would be uncomfortable. And now that I think about it, then, yeah, I don't know.
No, you should try it.
It's honestly, once
I would imagine that if I'm in the right situation with a girl that I really like, she could probably convince me to.
It adds another dimension to your pleasure, to your orgasm.
Right. But I don't know. God, maybe it is that. Maybe it is a sexuality thing with me. Because I can't.
So I have a the toy of the week here.
That's a small, isn't it?
This is a small. This is an Enjoy butt plug. It's metal,
stainless steel.
The small is. I mean, feel how small that is. It's curved and designed to fit comfortably between your
smaller
cheeks.
Smaller than a walnut.
It's smaller than two fingers. I mean, this is thinner than a man thumb. I mean,
this is small.
Yeah.
It looks like a tiny Super Bowl trophy.
Super tiny.
Yeah. Super tiny Super Bowl trophy. They could market it like that.
There we go.
Win the Super Bowl. That's weird.
Touchdown.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. You guys are really selling this, by the way.
Well. It was actually when you had done a workshop, Anal 101. It was like, I think, in the Babeland days. And
it was a long time ago.
You were talking about this, and I was like, I was so enamored with that, and I really wanted one. And then our friend Melinda got one, and she was like loving it. Mm-hmm. And then I was just like, "Are you? No, I think she'd be totally okay with it."
Oh, you know.
Okay, sorry about that.
It's okay. I'm like, oh, that was less anonymous than anonymous.
Totally wasn't thinking. Sorry. So, yeah. So I was. I really wanted one.
It's so comfortable. And this lube up slides right in. The small is fantastic. And the metal just is so weighty, but doesn't fall out. It's designed so it just chills and kind of...
It's the weight.
Yeah.
Do you know both men and women who used it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And every single coworker I have raves about these.
Really?
This is the one toy that every single sex person I know just loves.
I haven't ever once thought of or considered something like that. Or I don't know. This is probably the first time I've talked to anyone about it.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. I'm learning a lot this episode.
Believe me, there will be an anal podcast in the future, and we're going to talk about some stuff.
Yeah, I wasn't nearly as anally centric as I was until you started this whole thing and that workshop, and now I'm just so much more anal.
Yeah.
And proud of it.
We broke you in, and then there was a birthday present in there.
There was the
yeah, that's right.
I think I got a size.
Not personally, okay. But mentally. Because
the barrier.
People's sexuality, a lot of times there's just barriers of like, no, no, no. And then at some point something clicks and go, oh, yeah, maybe.
I mean, I knew that I had kind of enjoyed, I've had things in my ass. I hadn't had a penis in my ass before, but I had had other things in my ass, mm-hmm. and I enjoyed it. And then, but that, I just knew like the weight of it. Once I felt the weight, I was like, oh, this is where it's at.
Right. And the curve. So it's almost rocking toward the G-spot.
Very well designed.
Anal G-spotting.
Yeah.
Fun times.
Still terrified.
Still terrified.
I think he's better off with the Aneros to start with. Isn't that much smaller?
It is. Well, this is really small. Okay.
It's pretty small.
Let me talk. Okay.
And there's like a nice little handle.
Yep, nice handle.
So it doesn't get sucked up
inside
you.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I never would have thought of that.
Oh, yeah. Flared base.
Oh, man. Now I'm more terrified.
No base without a trace.
How do you know that it's, you know?
I'm learning.
I'm so learning. I watched your video, too. Yeah.
No base without a trace?
Yes.
I did a video.
It's hilarious.
I'm in my kitchen. I'm just bringing out, like, sex toy after sex toy. Like, look, it's a base. No base. This is going to go see your colon, and then after that, it's going to come out your mouth. No, it's not.
Oh. You're not helping.
No, that's not. I don't know if that has actually. No, that would never happen. That's, I think, impossible. But it makes me laugh because if something is, it's the other, I don't know, ass, mouth.
Sure. Yeah. No, that definitely is how the anatomy of a person works.
But the point is, make sure it's flared so you don't have to, go tell your nurse about it.
That would be an uncomfortable visit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In more than one way.
If it were to happen to me, I would go in there totally owning it, though. Because I know.
Well, have to.
Someday, like porn stars, how do they start? Because they'll put like billiard balls in and they'll push them out. Like they have all this, because they've practiced and they have all this control and they can put things. Have you seen some porn stars?
No.
Like there are videos where they'll put balls or things that are not flared inside and then push them out again. And it's this really neat little magic trick. That is something for experts to be doing.
Yes. Sounds right.
Or people who have medical coverage. So when I have medical coverage, I really want to see what kind of control happened. I mean, because if people are doing this, I need to know what this is about. You know, like, I feel like it's my duty as an American to be responsible, to know. So,
well,
someday.
I hope that you get medical coverage.
So I'm going to go in there.
It sounds exciting.
Be like, hey, guess what? I've got a billiard ball in my ass, and I really need help with that. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, man. I hope you do it in a phone call.
Yeah, well,
first visit to your doctor.
Honestly, that sounds huge. I wouldn't actually do a billiard board. That's really big. You know, maybe a marble or something.
I mean, if you really wanted to get into it, you could get like a personal physician. Maybe just wait like 10, 20 years until you're rich and famous.
Have a paramedic.
Call that lives in your house.
Yeah. You're looking at me like, whoa, that's.
Yeah. Wow. I'm not sure. I'm not feeling this, but I'm supportive. I just don't relate.
I thought about it deeply, and it's really because I've talked to like super ass masters, and I've talked to beginners, and I've talked to all these people, and I do not recommend anyone putting something that's not flared up their ass, but people who do, like, I want to know what the mechanics are of having to push it out, or if it will, or like, I want to have the experience to understand. I guess
it's hard to imagine like a what's it called? A pool ball? What's it? Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to go into surgery if it really goes up in there. So I mean, I probably shouldn't.
Like, they really can do that?
But it's got to be pretty similar to.
It seems
just going
anatomically
to the bathroom.
Impossible.
Well, what? Okay.
So, yeah, time.
It does seem difficult, yes.
Yes. I'll be good. I'll get medical coverage, and then I'll do other things like, you know, get a checkup and won't put things in my ass. That's, yeah. And Elaine doesn't have to give me that face anymore. So, guess what, everybody? This is the moment where I thank some amazing people for donating all of our audio equipment here in the brand new studio. Thanks to Carvin for all the audio equipment that allows us to record an awesome sounding podcast.
No way. That's great.
Yeah. These are very sexy mics. I feel very,
everything
proud.
Sounds fantastic.
So cool.
Yeah. It's quite generous of them. And, check them out at carvin.com or stores in Hollywood, Santa Ana and San Diego.
How do you spell Carvin?
CARVIN.com.
Their Hollywood store is just down the street from Meltdown Comics, which we're sitting in.
Right,
just to bring it all around.
We just bought the coolest comic book store / place to play D&D / buy cool colorful t-shirts in all of Los Angeles.
/ place to see live performance comedy.
Oh,
by the way.
Oh, yeah, that. Yeah, sorry. I was looking out at all the beautiful products and the giant robot in the front. And I was thinking,
I like
that.
The rainbow on the window.
Isn't that nice? Mm-hmm. Yeah, but then you come to the back and there's this super secret awesome space where you can go laugh and stuff.
And talk about sex.
Yes. There's so many shows. Like, I can't come here every day. If I came here every day, I would just be a very happy person. So I guess I should come here every day.
Yeah,
so
I need to come here more. Speaking of which.
Yeah, because I just finished Doctor Who.
You just finished it?
Yeah. Well, not the Matt Smith stuff, but everything before that. So I'm caught up. So now
you can go to shows.
Yeah. Now I can't have, I don't have any reason to stay at home under the covers, not talking to anyone.
Because you do that so often.
Yeah. Well, I hide, you know, so they're talking about sex or just, you know, crying alone. No, it's not true.
Sandra did seem very shy when I first met her.
You know what? Me too.
Really? How long ago did you meet her?
Not that long ago, a month ago. And it wasn't, there was a little bit of a buffer because she messaged me after seeing me perform at a comedy show at the Pleasure Chest.
Oh yeah, I was so shy. I totally.
But very shy, yeah.
I was like, don't hate me. I thought you were cool. You want to talk or something?
Yeah, and it was great. We met for coffee like a week or two later. Uh-huh. And our conversation was, I don't know, it was adorable. I didn't want to say adorable because I didn't want you to feel embarrassed, but it was adorable.
I'm not surprised.
I watched your stuff and I thought that you weren't a piece of shit. That was the conversation. And I was like, oh, thank you.
Oh, you're right. I told you that. Oh, you seem really nice and sex positive, and gave you compliments and then felt really weird and wanted to run away. That's, I'm socially awkward.
We're all socially awkward. I don't know how we got on that. Anyway,
should I read this question?
Oh yeah. This is the moment where since this podcast started, I'm getting flooded with questions. So you know what, guys, if you email me at sexnerdsandra.com, be prepared because I'm most likely going to either ignore it, especially if you send me naked pictures of your penis. Don't do that. I got one of those.
Does that happen? Really?
That happened.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. Whoever you are, don't do that.
Or if it's because you have something scary on your penis, email me first and ask if it's okay. Thank you. That's all. But.
Oh, that was me.
But it was actually a good question attached to the photos. So it was a medical thing. But the point is that, you know, sometimes I'm thinking about chocolate or poetry or something other than penises when I open my email. Anyway, so now we're going to take some questions from our readers. Elaine, take it away.
Okay, first question reads, so I just got out of a half decade year relationship that was pretty unsexual. By that, I mean, I could probably count the times we've had sex on both of my hands. I know, it sounds crazy. Needless to say, I'm pretty nervous about future sexual encounters. Sex terrifies me. Head makes me want to crawl in a hole. And everything else is pretty foreign to me. I've only had 3 sexual partners who really never made sex a super exciting thing for me. This is the same one. Okay. I would say that the most intimidating acts for me are definitely blowjobs. Any tips that you could give would be wonderful. I am dating someone, and while we're both making appointments to get tested, I want to be prepared. Advice would be amazing for me in this area, especially head, but I'll take it on anything.
Awesome.
That's a great question.
Yeah. That sounds terrifying. I'm sorry.
Yeah. When I first read that, I thought that it was a guy who wrote that.
Oh, really?
And then you told me it was a woman.
Female. Yeah.
Right. Both.
Or we can just make it up. We can make her a man. It's fine.
No, sure. I'm sorry. I think I just totally stunted the discussion of that question. But
you confused matters a little bit. But
either way,
okay.
I just meant that I can relate. Oddly, I can relate to that. Even though I'm not of the same gender.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I mean, I relate to that. And
in terms of, you know, pleasing the other person.
And blowjobs in general. I think the idea of them scare a lot of people because I think most guys that I've talked to are just sort of like, yeah, blowjobs, they're my favorite thing. Doesn't really, you don't need to, it just happens. But me, mm-hmm. For the first, I don't know, 5-6 years of me having sex, I never came from a blowjob. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I would blame a girl on that. I mean, she sounds worried about it, but I would say that it's not, I don't know if there's necessarily much that you guys will have a lot more opinions on this, but I think as far as being worried about it and feeling bad that you don't know how to do it, I would recommend not worrying about it and just enjoying yourself.
Can I ask you, in the time that you weren't orgasming from it, were you enjoying it though?
I would enjoy it throughout.
Okay.
And then, but then I was also awkward and I felt bad telling the girl to stop. And so, because after a little while it would just become overstimulation. Mm-hmm. And the way that I would deal with it, I would like lift her up and, you know, have sex with her.
Time to plow you.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
And that's what I would yell. I'd hold a flag in the air and yell, time to plow you.
I love it.
That's really interesting. Actually, this makes me think about the word used, overstimulation, or two words, because that happens with females too. Just any genital play, someone's trying to pleasure you and pleasure you and pleasure you, and then you get overloaded. There's too much stimulation going on, and you're not even on the path to orgasm. You're out on like some other planet at some point. Like you're just, it's too much. Is that what you mean by stimulation?
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. I do apologize. I think I took you guys away from answering.
That was so awesome because I never even thought about that. That's really helpful. Coming from a man and the fact that he's not always going to orgasm from it.
Right. And then the girls.
And it has nothing to do with how, I mean, I guess sometimes it has something to do with how attracted I am to the girl. Mm-hmm. I mean, even now it doesn't, I don't orgasm every time from a blowjob. I have dated like 2 girls who were really, really good at it. Mm-hmm. But that only means that, I think that only means that we sort of met. You know, she did what I liked.
Yeah. You were connected.
Absolutely. Because everyone likes different things. Everyone has different levels of stimulation at different parts of their penis or their vagina or whatever, you know? And there have been 2 girls that I've dated where like, I probably would have endured insane emotional trauma from them simply because of the blowjobs, how good they were.
Oh, that's so hard when sex keeps you in a relationship.
Oh, yeah.
Everything else is terrible. Okay, so here's the question. Those 2 females, did they ask you or did you 2 communicate in any way about what you liked, or did they just hone in on it pretty well?
Just from the start. And it took one of those relationships for me to realize, like, oh, it's just that I have a really specific thing because sex makes me feel uncomfortable. And here's an interesting thing.
That's very honest, most people.
I mean, it does. And I'm getting better and better at it. And I'm, you know, at a place now where I'm pretty okay with it. But there does have to be a certain amount of emotion in the sex, even if it's a one night stand or a random hookup. Like, I have to at least sort of fake like I like the person. Mm-hmm. And with the first girl that gave me like a great blowjob, it was, I really liked her. Mm-hmm. And we had been dating for about a week. And it was going great. And I was insanely attracted to her. And she just did exactly, I don't know, not, she was, well, for one thing, she was, okay, diligent, is one thing that I would say. What works for me is like foreplay, fooling around, hooking up. Mm-hmm. But then when it comes to actually like getting a blowjob, uh-huh, just repetition.
Diligent meaning that she didn't change up that shit every 5 seconds.
She didn't seem like she got tired quickly.
Okay.
Which is expected. I'm not going to hate on a girl for getting tired during oral sex. But with me, it's sort of like just up, down, up, down, up, down. And that's pretty much all I need. Mm-hmm. But the other thing I'll say is it's much easier for me to get off during a blowjob if I'm watching the girl. Mm-hmm. Like, which with the...
So visuals.
Right. The last girl I hooked up with, it was amazing. Like, I couldn't get off if she was like, if she was to the side, if she was to the side of me, like bending over me, sort of perpendicular to where I was, mm-hmm, going down on me,
math,
I couldn't get off. But if she was like looking straight at me, going down on me, and I could watch her head bobbing up and down and I could see her naked body, then, mm-hmm, then I could get off. Mm-hmm. It's weird.
No, it makes perfect sense. Yeah.
Visuals are hot.
Yeah.
Especially with a blowjob.
Yeah, I realize I'm really silent. When people tell me sort of their stories, I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, yes. I'm really, mm-hmm, enjoying this. This is great. Thank you. Great.
Oh, yeah.
So visuals are important. And what you said about connecting, even if it's a one-night stand or even dating a very short time, honestly, like, I had a one-night stand where it was just like, make out, we're kind of drunk, and then we're in the dark, and then like we're doing genital things. But there was just absolutely no connection in that. You're kind of just squinty-eyed and like, oh, pawing at the person, they're pawing at you, but you're just there to kind of paw. Like, there's not a whole lot of, like, you need a little eye contact, like a rat, yeah, you know, giving
one
a little
something. Attacking each other.
Right, yeah. No, but I like the eye contact, like a little bit of fire. Like,
yeah.
Like, if Elaine and I looking across the table, it's just like, you gotta give them an eye and kind of just make them feel like you're happy. You're happy to be there with them. You know, like, you're not just like,
oh,
you can,
oh, absolutely. Right. That's the best.
That's the worst when you think
No.
You're like, that's the best. That's the worst. I'm saying it's
we're
the worst.
So respectful of
when it almost feels like you could be anyone servicing them, you know?
Right.
The idea of overstimulation, mm-hmm, is actually very important when it comes to oral sex or just pleasuring a person, no matter who they are. When during blowjobs and they're like, going at you, and at some point it's like, okay, time to plow, because honestly, this is not going to work. I'm not going to come, and that's okay, but it's time to move on to something else. Would you say that if they slowed down or kind of, like, were they going too fast or going too tight, or what was it that was overstimulating, or too much head?
Too much tip is always a problem for me. Like, I'm an insanely easily stimulated person, I think. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the tip, even in the heat of, like, when I'm about to come at a blowjob, mm-hmm, I can get totally derailed by a girl stopping and just going on the tip. Mm-hmm. But that's just me. Yeah.
And you kind of give her signals of, like, when she's on the right track and you want her to stay, do you kind of let her know in some way, either?
Oh, definitely. I mean, at this point, I'll
encourage her.
I will literally say, too much. Like, I can't even.
Right. But when she's on the right track and you're ready to come, do you kind of like encourage her to keep doing what she's doing?
Yes.
As opposed to changing things up, right?
Yes. Well, and normally I'll just do it if it seems like she's going to change. I'll say something like, keep going.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's important.
And I hope that, I always hope, I used to not say stuff like that because you know, it seems like it can be insulting to a person. People can take all sorts of things personally, especially when it comes to sex. And it's the last thing I want to do when I'm hooking up with someone.
Right.
I just hope in the moment that they don't take it like a judgment of their performance, just more of like encouragement. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Can I say something?
Yeah, totally.
Well, this is all making me think that like you're worried about how they're going to feel and everything. And you're saying how it really helps if you care. I'm thinking when you're really in a relationship with someone and you really care about each other, mm-hmm. and you try to connect on some level other than just like the surface, then you're going to be very mindful of what's pleasing them, and you're going to want to please them. So it becomes about, you know, you're like reading their signals. And so it's really hard to kind of hurt someone because you're in this pleasure zone and you're just acting on pleasure. So it just, I don't know. It seems like it should really be about connecting, not about giving a good blowjob.
Absolutely.
Totally. However, well, it is. However, a lot of like females.
Sure, I talk to a lot of.
I mean, of course, you don't have to be any particular gender to be right. sex in a person. But I tend to teach a lot of females about blowjobs, and a lot of them, your blowjob skills are like I am good at this. Like
yeah.
they really, it's something. Like guys might be like,
you just hold
like a really
on
muscly
to it.
Man. You see, he probably
like I can drive a tractor.
Yeah, it's like I can pick up something that's really heavy that no one else can. Like there's that thing that you have. Like that talent, that little thing that makes you feel cool. And honestly, women seem to be really attached to their blowjob skills in a lot of
But I think that you kind of have to have this whole artillery of no, what's it called?
Arsenal.
Arsenal. Good.
Of skills in that area, because every guy is going to be different. And
right, that's the thing, is you can't just be like, well, what's yeah. wrong with your dick, because I blew their 10 other guys' minds.
And I don't even know. I mean, a lot of times, like, I'm just creative. You know, I didn't necessarily like learn a list of tips. Like I like to just kind of explore and experiment and go with how I feel. And again, you're reading off of them. Like you sort of imagine what would feel good. You got to kind of be one with the penis yeah. and the balls.
Thank you. To me, oral sexing a person is a totally creative act. And you really just flow with how they're reacting and whatnot.
Yeah.
Penises, interestingly enough, are very similar to clits. In that the head of the penis is basically a gigantic clit. I mean, it's the right. same tissue in the womb, turns into different genitals depending on your chromosomes. But the shaft does have skin, and it would come up into a foreskin if the person's intact or circumcised, it's gone. Either way, we all know, or I hope we all generally know, that chicks generally don't like it when you just poke the clit, like click, 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 because it's too intense. It's right. so intense. Right. It's crazy. And even when women say, oh, I like just clitoral, what they're doing is they're using their clit hood most of the time. They're going up and slightly to the left, maybe down mm-hmm. to the right. They're doing swirling motions, but they're often not really touching the hood, the clit itself, but the hood, which would be like the foreskin. So the fact that the foreskin is gone on a lot of guys does tend to change sensitivity levels. It's a whole thing, but mainly I've learned through years of book reading only that when you're giving someone a hand job, like in our hand job podcast, we have talked about this, and you're coming up to the head, and hopefully you're lubed up so that's nice and fluid, but you edge up on the crown, which is sort of where the little samurai helmet comes out, it's out and then up to the top, where you come up to it, but don't go over the entire head. Like you're just like edging on the head. You're edging on the head, and you don't go all the way up to it necessarily with your hand. And with your mouth, just getting crazy with your tongue, like wow, 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 like all over that thing, like is kind of crazy. Like it's too much, especially in the beginning.
Definitely.
So I'll actually create I tell people create a hollow cavern with your mouth and just cover your teeth and press below the head, so that when you bob up, you kind of pull up on the head with pressure, but you're not, and just give them like a tongue swirl every few strokes, just to go like, hey, I'm still here. Mm-hmm. I could lick you if you wanted to, and give them a little zing like that. That's a nice a sort of variety of sensations.
It's great advice.
Yeah. It's helpful.
Yeah. You know?
But then if they're getting really close, there might be like double time swirling, not like all the time crazy, not gonna be crazy, but okay. I might like increase the swirling. But then also, like, people tend to assume that you just want to stroke like crazy. And for some people, if you just slow the stroke down and really just, but not like a flimsy, sad, slow stroke, but like a ka-chunk, ka-chunk, Ka-chunk.
Sure.
And like a really, like I intend to do this, like a really, like bread kneading or dough kneading, like dough kneading where you're just really like kneading into the dough if you bake. But yeah, really just be there with the penis and stroke down in a slower, strong motion. It really helps. But don't pull the skin. Please don't pull the skin.
This is inspiring too.
Definitely don't pull the skin.
I like that I inspire you.
Yeah, you're inspiring me a lot lately.
I think a lot of people have a problem with pulling the skin, men and women. Yeah. It's an issue that needs to be addressed is what I'm saying by our local politicians.
I'll write a letter.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah, no, lube is really helpful. And honestly, I had a partner who I used to pull the skin on and finally like, you know, it's kind of pulling the skin. And then I realized what I was doing was pulling skin and then I just paid attention. Mm-hmm. And now I am not a skin puller unless I feel a little angry. What? No, I don't do that.
Do the dishes.
No, it's nice when you actually really have an arsenal, like you said, like really just a wide variety of different sensations you can create with your mouth, your hands, your tongue, and just options. Create a buffet of different things that you can play with, because that's the fun part. And then you can totally throw in like just a little bit of teeth, just like once, just, you know, make them jump a little bit. Because then it's like, ha, I gotcha.
And don't focus too much on worrying about if you're doing this right. I mean, listen to your partner. I mean, listen to his body. And think about pleasing. I mean, the thing that turned me on the most about that video and that sex scene was she was so into pleasing him. Mm-hmm. So it's like, yeah.
I think paying attention is great advice.
Yeah, listening. That's what's going to be the main focus of my brothel in the school.
Listening.
Well, oh, that's interesting. Listeners. What do you want? What would you
like? That's what they need to learn. And not listening to words, listening to one's body, listening to your partner's body.
There was a really interesting thing that you said the first time I was on the show when we were talking about hand jobs about there's watch your partner's body language. Mm-hmm. And I was listening to it again today and I wrote that down to remember it because yeah, I think that's totally true and really important. Like if you,
oh, the hip tilting?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you can, I'll let you.
Oh, just if you notice if the person's coming towards your face or your hands or whatever it is, like tilting forward, or if they're sort of scrunching or arching away, or if they're bobbing their hips, they're generally, that's a hint that at the speed that they want you to go. So if you're going like, with your hand and your mouth, but they're actually going like boom, boom, boom with their hips, you might want to like match. It's like a metronome. It's like a humping metronome. You really got to match
such
that.
A good idea. And there's also, you also said, if you, with being overstimulated, you know, if you notice your partner pulling away from you a little bit, then you should not do whatever you're doing.
Right.
Very good tip.
Yeah, ease off or move to a different, like slightly to the left or slow down. Yeah. And like for
kiss
for penises,
like kiss in that moment, like reconnect.
That's true.
That's a really good idea. Huh?
I'm all about
stuff
the connection.
About connection. Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. Where it's
at. For reals.
And actually your saliva does transfer hormones to the other person. So you get chemically on the same page.
Mm.
Oh yeah. It's true.
Oh, damn.
It's true. Okay, that
the
was...
The new name of this podcast is Oh Yeah.
With Sex Nerd Sandra. Oh, that would be weird.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
With Sex Nerd Sandra.
That would be a fun intro.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We need a big black rapper here.
I'm a big black rapper.
Yeah, well, yeah. For radio, you are totally, you're a big, strong black man.
For radio, you're a big black rapper. Oh, but in real life, just look at you. That's funny.
Yeah, so sorry. No, I mean, you're kind of black in person, whatever. Okay.
I did not take it as a hurtful comment.
Our next question is
What's the next question?
Anonymous from Anonymous State. You mentioned on the first episode a favorite vibrator, as did your guest. Can I get the names of both of those? Please. Also, a friend of mine very strongly recommended the Wii Vibe, but in the same conversation, I got the feeling that his spouse was nowhere near as positive about it. Do you know anything about this one? In simplest terms, I am happy with my sex life, really enjoy pleasing my partner, and hope that this continued attitude will keep her coming back for more. So any help ideas I can find are always welcome. Thank you. Thanks for asking. The two toys that we talked about are the Leia Spot from Fun Factory and the Form 2 from Jimmy Jane. So those are the two. I liked the Leia spot, more of a mellow vibration, nice and ergonomic. And Mary, who was on, liked the Form 2, which looks like a little tiny bunny. And it's very strong with two motors. It's crazy. The strongest thing ever. Very quiet. And you can go scuba diving with it. Or that's just what I say you can do with it. You can just take a bath with it if you want. Anyway, so that's that. But we're going to talk about what you asked, which is the Wii Vibe. Bam, and I have one here right now. Hello, I'm the Wii Vibe.
Hello, Wii Vibe.
This is Elaine. This is Dave.
Hello, Wii Vibe.
What's up with that?
I don't think it's charged up. It's a rechargeable toy. Yeah. It's, I call it a paperclip of love because it kind of...
It's a paperclip of love.
It's like clamps. A stapler.
Or the crocodile of sex.
Yeah, it's a U-shaped toy with two bulbs that are connected with a small little... Or a U-turn thing. How would you describe this?
It's like one of those mini staplers, the handheld ones.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like a mini stapler.
It does. It looks like a tiny swing line stapler with...
It's just curved.
Aerodynamic stapler.
Yeah. That's more malleable.
C-shaped.
Or a Pac-Man? Not really Pac-Man.
It looks like a dinosaur's jaw.
Yeah, I love it.
More gelatinous.
So people look at this and they have no idea what it is. It's a great... toy. It's actually designed very well. It was designed by a fancy schmancy engineer, I think worked for NASA. He and his wife really wanted something that was hands-free, that they could wear, that vibrated during sex.
My tax dollars paid for this?
Oh, this is a side project.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. Don't worry. Not on the clock, I don't think.
Oh, no, I'm horribly fiscally conservative.
Clearly. But what you do is you lube this puppy up and you insert the smaller bulb inside vaginally. And from the outside, it'll look like there is a small stem coming out and around, and then the bulb presses up against the vulva and the clit. So the outside.
Whoa, that is a great idea.
Wait, so I don't get it. What?
So this is, I'm making a...
hole in her
stunt
fist.
Vagina with my, yeah. My fist. And... Okay. One end is inside, comes out.
Oh, and then
to outside
the clip.
Right.
Okay.
And
but yeah, it sort of lays flat. It doesn't just point onto the clit.
Exactly. It covers a really broad area.
I see.
And the inside part is designed very flat, so it presses up above the pelvic bone into the G spot, and so you have plenty of space to also have intercourse. So it's designed so you can be penetrated while you're wearing it. It vibrates.
Whoa. That's nuts.
And nerdy information.
Doesn't seem like it would be that
seems
great
like
for the guy.
Seems like a little too much going on.
Here's the thing. So the guy in this letter was saying that his friend was raving about it and the wife was like, meh. I tried it. I love it. I thought it was fantastic.
You tried it during sex?
Yeah. And you do really need lube so that the shaft really doesn't like rub raw against it. And so everything's nice and smooth. Your engine parts need to, you know, slide together nicely.
Yeah.
But the thing is, okay, the inside vibrator vibrates at a deeper frequency, like a back massager type frequency, and the outside one is a higher frequency. So theoretically, you're supposed to have clashing of vibration waves within the genital region, all that flesh that's between these two parts, between the G-spot and the clit, like that whole area is supposed to just be like, nah! Right? Okay. It's like an orchestra of fun. I didn't feel clashing of, you know,
the
like, right. It wasn't the Red Sea just smashing together and killing all the evil guys. Like, not necessarily, but I did feel a lot of sensitivity, especially on the outside, and it was hands-free and it didn't fall out. That's the thing. It's an engineered, so it won't fall out. I think it's a great toy. It's about $100. The thing is that I've met a lot of women who've tried it and they're like, I just didn't feel anything. It didn't do anything for me.
Really?
Did you enjoy it? You were on top or not?
I was doing all kinds of things, Elaine.
Okay.
You know, who knows?
Did it work better in certain positions for you?
I think it was more face-to-face when I was using it. So, but I generally will make sure that something is grinding, like it's pressed up pretty firmly.
Okay.
And most people, when I ask, they are facing their partner, but they find that the vibration isn't strong enough. I've gotten in deep conversations about this because it's a pretty strong vibration. It's not crazy, but they're either used to a really strong vibration or they tend to be so overwhelmed by the penetration aspect that they can't, like, the vibration has to be upped a notch in order to match the intensity of penetration.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I've learned from talking to female-bodied folk about using the Wii Vibe, which is interesting. But for me, where I'm all like, mellow vibration is fine. And then I was like, this is great. But then other women are like, nah. So it's an interesting toy. And hey, if you've got $100 to throw at something and it sounds interesting and you're kind of like me in terms of vibration preference, hey, this could be the toy for you. But that's what I have to say about the Wii Vibe. What do you think, guys? Would you ever try this thing?
I'm curious.
I'd try it, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Seems great.
You guys are staring at me like, you know.
I don't know. No, I mean, I don't know. I'd try it.
Yeah.
I will tell you the first time I saw a hands-free vibrator, I was, God, how old was I? I just moved back here, so I was like 25, 24, 25. And I had seen it in a catalog, and I came home. I lived in a house with three other guys. And I went on this sort of rant that I wasn't actually angry, but I went on this thing about like, why is there no hands-free blowjob machine for like a while? And so, and they were all like, they got sort of into it. And so we sort of scoured the internet, and this doesn't completely relate, but we ended up finding there is out there. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of this? Do you know of this? Okay. So I'm curious, when you're done talking about that, what you think of this pneumatic blowjob machine that you could just walk to work wearing or whatever.
Oh, wait. I don't know about this one. I remember a Japanese video. Oh, I'm done. We've talked about the Wii Vibe, but to let you know, it's rechargeable, it's silicone, it's awesome, depending on your vagina and your partner. But yeah, guys like penetrating with this because it vibrates, it feels good. But that's it. So let's talk about this blowjob machine you can wear to work.
I call it the hands-free blowjob machine, but it's not what it's called. But that's what it is. You could wear it to work, but it's huge. It's about
measurement.
It was about a foot and a half long, with like a circumference of about a foot. And the way that worked was there was this sort of engine within it with a pneumatic tube that had like rubber fingers on the inside.
Probably made by the Hitachi.
No, this is made, it sounds very Japanese.
Target brand.
Target brand? What?
Target brand, yeah.
It's so amazing. Mm-hmm. Next to the Hulu.
It's made by Reed Designs. I'm kidding. So yeah, so then there's this pneumatic tube in the middle with like sort of plasticky jelly fingers that you lube up, and then you put it, you put your penis inside of it, and then there are two straps, one that goes around your waist, and then three, one that goes around your waist, and then two that go around each of your legs.
Oh, it's like invisible, like underwear elastic, basically with no underwear.
I don't know.
Briefs.
Panties. Like that. Exactly. Yeah. Like man bungee panties. Cords.
Okay.
Yeah. Like,
So weird.
So wait a minute. It's basically designed like a strap-on, because that's how a strap-on is designed. Right. But instead of wearing something above your penis or on your pelvic bone, it's on your penis.
It's like this big mechanism. But then again, like, so are some vibrators. It's
this is amazing.
Thing.
You've never heard it? That's so interesting. No. I wonder,
And it works, and it runs on batteries, and you...
I believe it runs on batteries. I would imagine that it does. I just don't understand why it has to be
that big.
That, well, yeah, hands-free. I mean, I guess you can just watch TV and get a blowjob from a robot. I mean, I guess there's something to be said for that.
No, there's a virtual machine. I forget what it's called. I look at the box every time I'm at work, but like a virtual sex machine where you get a porn. And you can buy gay or straight versions, but you watch the porn, and whatever's happening in the movie, the sleeve that your penis is in is motorized to make it feel so...
Whoa, really?
Yeah, so if you change holes or something.
I just realized that's the point of the hands-free, is so you can imagine that someone else is doing it.
Right, of course. Yeah. Totally makes sense.
Or just run at one of your friends going, "Mah!"
I am so like...
Oh, man. Well, that's a great way to wake someone up. Just strap them in and let them wake up.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's great. Actually, that could be awful.
If you want to give someone a blowjob for their birthday and you don't want to give them a blowjob, I think that that's probably the best way to do it. So what I'm saying is,
suck it
with
up, people.
This great new tool that's been invented in these technologically futuristic times, I could give my male friends a blowjob for their birthday without having to give a man a blowjob.
Wow.
So guys out there, if you have a good buddy. You don't know what to get him for his birthday, buy a hands-free blowjob machine.
Awesome. I actually just sold a guy a masturbation sleeve today because with a mouth lip sort of opening, because he wanted to give his friend a blowjob for his birthday.
I am so into
it. Actually happened today.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And I love masturbation sleeves. I just think it's the coolest thing. Ever since I saw your video, I'm like, that is just so rad.
What
I
is
love
a masturbation sleeve?
I'm so intrigued.
It's,
you got to get one.
In raptures. Wraps your penis in a tube of soft, nubby stuff. It's all lubed up, hopefully, and you can stroke it. It's
Yeah.
a tunnel of love.
It's so great. Yeah. I don't know why.
It's just, it's like a hug.
I love it.
We're outside junk.
Hugs are great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I should get one. Sounds awesome.
Well, those were two awesome questions from two very honest and wonderful people, and I appreciate you emailing me. But now is the time where we wrap this shit up so we can go think about sex alone in our apartments or something. True. I'm going to go home and...
I'm going to go think about sex at a comedy show.
Are you?
Yeah.
I'm going to go and watch the Matt Smith Doctor Who's and think about all the sexual tension going on in that TARDIS. That's what I'm going to think about.
All right.
I'm going to go home and write my next blog entry because it's almost done and I'm going to finish it up.
Oh, great.
And then maybe I'll watch a little Taboo.
Actually, you better, and then loan it to me at some point.
Okay. And I got to loan it to you too.
Yes. We should be Facebook friends. Elaine.
We should all watch it together.
We can do that.
Contact that way.
All right.
Awesome. But yeah, tell us about your blog where they can find you.
My blog is called iheartmysharkfin.blogspot.com.
And the reason it's called I Heart My Shark Fin
is because I have a tumor in my breast that looked a lot like a shark fin on the ultrasound.
Yeah, it totally is like a little fish swimming in water. But yes, Elaine actually has stage 3 cancer, breast cancer. Mm-hmm. And so she's been kicking ass. And
we're just totally blindsided.
Yeah, yeah, totally blindsided.
Sorry. David and Owen.
I want to cry.
Yeah.
No. It's totally cool. Read my blog. You'll feel better.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a really positive blog. But you can also donate if you feel it because it's rough seeking treatment and doing all this research and having to work too. So it has been tough. So, you know, but yeah, check out the blog. We actually did a podcast together.
Yeah, well, we should put a link to that on when you post this.
We will. And it's a breasty cancer. If you talk about breasty cancer.
Oh, it's very funny. Yeah. And yeah. I think the blog title is called Sex Nurse Sandra Feels My Lumps.
Yeah, because I got to feel you. That's right. I did.
You did.
Yeah, that was very interesting. I've never felt breast lumps before.
No one had felt mine before.
Yeah, highly educational.
You were the first and last person, actually, except for my partner who sometimes probably incidentally feels them.
Sure.
Really? Like if I had breast lumps, I'd be like women in the supermarket, like feel this shit. Like it's crazy.
I kind of want to be like that, but I think it freaks people out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, I think it's so interesting.
It is.
One of those things that you never get to feel.
Because you're like that. Because you're a nerd. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. Dave.
Hello.
Now that we've dropped that bomb on everyone. No, but seriously, check it out. It's awesome. Where can people find you?
My website is davetotheross.com. DaveTotheRoss.
When I see you on Twitter and it's Dave to the Ross, you said it like so wrong, but I'm like Dave to the Ross. Like that's how I hear it in my head.
That's funny. Yeah. It does seem, it does seem like I'm trying to be a famous hip hop artist or something.
No,
Dave to the Ross. Thank you.
It's catchy.
Thank you.
And I am Sex Nerd Sandra. Sex Nerd Sandra on Twitter.com @gmail.com. That's just who I am. That's what I do. That's me. But thank you for listening. And this has been a great conversation. Thank you both for coming here and hanging out with this Dalek and me.
Well, thank you. It was great.
Yeah, it was great. Thank you.
All right. Let's go have some fun.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.